Random House Audio presents Digging to America by Ann Tyler. Read for you by Blair Brown. Chapter 1. At 8 o'clock in the evening, the Baltimore airport was nearly deserted. The wide gray corridors were empty, and the newsstands were dark, and the coffee shops were closed. Most of the gates had admitted their last flights. Their signboards were blank, and their rows of vinyl chairs unoccupied and ghostly. But you could hear a distant hum, a murmur of anticipation at the far end of Pier D. You could see an overexcited child spinning herself into dizziness in the center of the corridor, and then a grown-up popping forth to scoop her up and carry her, giggling and squirming, back into the waiting area. And a latecomer, a woman in a yellow dress, was rushing toward the gate with an armful of long-stemmed roses. Step around the bend, then, and you'd come upon what looked like a gigantic baby shower. The entire waiting area for the flight from San Francisco was packed with people bearing pink and blue wrapped gifts, or hanging on to flotillas of silvery balloons printed with, "It's a girl," and trailing spirals of pink ribbon. A man gripped the wicker handle of a wheeled and skirted bassinet, as if he planned to roll it onto the plane, and a woman stood ready with a stroller, so chrome-trimmed and bristling with levers that it seemed capable of entering the Indy 500. At least half a dozen people held video cameras, and many more had regular cameras slung around their necks. A woman spoke into a tape recorder in an urgent, secretive way. The man next to her clasped an infant's velour-upholstered car seat close to his chest. "Mom," the button on the woman's shoulder read. One of those three mans read, "Dad." A nice-looking couple, not as young as you might expect, the woman in wide black pants and an arty black-and-white top of a geometric design, her short hair streaked with gray. The man, a big, beaming, jovial type, with a stubbly, blonde buzz cut, his bald knees poking bashfully from voluminous khaki Bermudas. And not only were there Mom and Dad, there were Grandma and Grandpa, twice over, two complete sets. One grandma was a rumpled, comfortable woman in a denim sundress and bandana print baseball cap. The other was thin and gilded and expertly made up, wearing an ecru linen pantsuit and dyed-to-match pumps. The grandpas were dyed-to-match as well. The rumpled woman's husband, equally rumpled, his iron-gray curls overdue for a cutting, while the gilded woman's husband wore linen trousers and some sort of gauzy tropical shirt, and part of his bright yellow hair was possibly not his own. It's true there were other people waiting, people clearly not included in the celebration. A weary-eyed woman in curlers, an older woman with a younger one who might have been her daughter, a father with two small children already dressed in pajamas. These outsiders stood around the edges, quiet and somehow dimmed, from time to time sneaking glances in the direction of Mom and Dad. The plane was late. People grew restless. A child pointed out accusingly that the arrivals board still read on time, a plain old lie. Several teenagers wandered off to the unlit waiting area just across the corridor. A little girl in pigtails fell asleep on a vinyl chair, the button on her green plaid blouse proclaiming, "Cousin." Then something changed. There wasn't any announcement, the PA system had been silent for some time, but people gradually stopped talking and pressed toward the jetway, craning their necks, standing on tiptoe. A woman in a uniform punched in a code and swung open the jetway door. A skycap arrived with a wheelchair. The teenagers reappeared. Mom and Dad, till now in the very center of the crowd, were nudged forward with encouraging pats, a path magically widening to let them approach the door. First off was a very tall young man in jeans, wearing the confused look of someone who'd been flying too long. He spotted the mother and daughter and went over to them and bent to kiss the daughter, but only on the cheek because she was too busy peering past him, just briefly returning his hug while she kept her eyes on the new arrivals. Two businessmen with briefcases, striding purposefully toward the terminal. A teenage boy with a backpack so huge that he resembled an ant with an oversized breadcrumb. Another businessman. Another teenage boy. This one claimed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?